This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. And we did a full hour of discussing the contour of the NFL draft, this class. What I mean by that is, like, what positions are deep, what positions are shallow, what positions are top-heavy, what positions might you be able to nab someone really good in the third round. And we did that on the Take Command podcast, myself and Logan Paulson. And Logan's only watched about 200 prospects at this point, so what does he know? But we wanted to share with you here on the radio show the offensive and defensive line portions of that. I want to do that for two reasons. One, I think that's the position that most of you are the most interested in because it's where the Commanders probably go early in this draft based off of the contour of it and their needs. But also, there's a point in here where I talked to Logan about what makes a really good tackle versus a really good guard. And as you hear different evaluations of all these different prospects over the next couple of months, and you hear conversations about, for instance, why Brandon Coleman might ultimately get kicked inside in the same way that Sam Cosmi did after playing tackle as a rookie to guard, I think it's a really good piece of information to have. So without further ado, me and Logan breaking down the lines of scrimmage in the 2025 NFL draft. Take Command Podcast, NFL Draft Big Picture Preview Edition. Craig Hoffman here, Logan Paulson there, and it is time to talk about the lines of scrimmage. This is the part of the pod that I think most Commanders fans are most interested in, Logan, because this is, or these are the two areas that Washington feels extraordinarily likely to attack, both from how this draft, you know, we talk about the contour of the draft, the shape of this draft class, and their needs. And I think luckily they match up pretty well because there are a lot of offensive linemen that are towards the top of this class. There's also a lot, like, this might be the deepest defensive tackle class we've had in a long time, but there's also, like, good edge depth. So when we talk about the offensive linemen, you got a couple of guards at the, or maybe one guard, Tyler Booker, up there, but the offensive tackle group is very, very deep.
Yeah, but also I think it's an interesting group because I think there are a lot of guys, including Will Campbell, that I think some teams are kind of on the fence about whether they're actually tackles or guards. And I think that's good. And I think, you know, one of the things, one of the value adds of drafting an offensive lineman, especially a tackle, is like, hey, if it doesn't work out a tackle, they can play guard. And so I think, like, when you look at Will Campbell, you look at Banks from Texas, when you look at Membu from Missouri, I think all three of those guys could, I mean, they're listed as tackles, and I think they could play tackle, but I also think that they could be better guard. Like, we were talking about Membo before the show started from Missouri. Like, he's 6'3 and a half, 335. He's got 33 and a half inch arms. So, like, all the measurements there that he could play tackle, but just from, like, a movement stance standpoint, like, I think he could be a dominant guard. So, again, I think teams will kind of say, hey, fail at tackle, then move to guard. But in terms of the Commanders. He's not going to be available when the Commanders are picking. But like that type of guy is exactly what the Commanders are looking for, right? Someone who could play guard in a pinch, play tackle in a pinch. And I think that's where this offensive line class is so interesting, is that like there aren't a lot of, in my estimation, true tackles, and it makes it kind of tough. But there
can
are.
Can I pause right there and have you talk about that a little bit more? Because I think, you know, we have this discussion every year. And what to you makes a true tackle? And then what makes someone a candidate to potentially go into guard? Like, what is the difference in those, whether it's body types, movement skills? Because ultimately, like, you know, we can say that, oh, if he fails a tackle, he goes into guard. Okay, well, I still need someone to play tackle.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're Washington and you're drafting either you've decided that's the move for Brandon Coleman to kick him inside and you're drafting a left tackle, or you're trying to replace Andrew Wiley at right tackle, like, I need someone to play tackle. So what are you looking for in an actual, like, this guy's a tackle versus we're going to try him at tackle, but I like him better at guard?
So to me, it's really comes down to like movement skills, you know? And I think when you look at, you know, your Jordan Mailatas, you look at your Tristan Wirfs, look at your Trent Williams, Lane Johnsons, they have the requisite arm length. So they've usually got 33 plus inch arm length, right? So 34, 35 inches is kind of like what you're looking for. 33 and a half is pretty good. And then their ability to play in space. And so that is the lateral quickness to move in space, because you're just dealing with more square footage when you play tackle, right? So you have to be able to kick vertically, kind of to attack like what the speed rusher is trying to attack when he's trying to attack your outside shoulder as a pass protector, and then be able to redirect inside. So athletically, you're looking for someone like that. So obviously length is helpful in that situation. Body mass is another one that's kind of big here, right? Because there's a couple guys that are really dynamic, like Marcus Mbeau from Purdue is crazy athletic, but he's like 299, he's like 6'4". So like when someone gets their hands on him, you're like, oh, that's too much. There's like, he's given up too much bull, right? And so like, even though he's athletically capable of playing tackle, a lot of people are projecting him to play guard or center because they take some of that air out in terms of the bull rush. So you're really looking.
So if you're a bull rushing as an edge, you have a extra couple of yards of head start as opposed to the contact being instant, so that inertia is not quite as severe on the bull rush, even though defensive tackles are obviously, you think of them as like more powerful body types, but they don't get the running start that an edge player does.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So you're looking for someone that can kind of dance like a bear, can sit heavy power, and also get out on a screen and like smoke a corner, right? And so like when you look at the top guys, that's what they all do. And for me, it's like the athletic threshold to do that is it eliminates a lot of people. Like it takes a lot of people off the map. So like taking Will Campbell, for example, who in my opinion is the best offensive lineman in the class, like his balance is tremendous, but I have concerns about his arm length, right? And how he punches. And again, like his movement skills are there, but if his arms measure in at 33 or 32 and a half, it's like, he's going to have a hard time blocking Myles Garrett. I mean, everybody does, but that lack of length is something that really shows up at tackle more than any other position. So to me, we mentioned Banks, we mentioned Campbell, we mentioned Mbeau from Missouri.
Yeah.
Like the other guy is Josh Simmons, and there is no more pure tackle in the draft than Josh Simmons. And to me, he would be my number one offensive lineman, but he's coming off a pretty significant knee injury. And they've been really kind of cloak and dagger about what the injury is, but he moves like, he wears number 71, but like there's a movement aptitude, kind of like Trent or Darisaw up in Minnesota, those guys that can kind of get out in space and explode through the hips and mirror and play basketball on the edge. So he's a guy that I'm really excited about. And then obviously there's what's his name from Oregon, is Josh Connerly from Oregon, is a guy that I think has those similar athletic traits, plays incredibly consistently, and feels like a true tackle. So that's kind of what I'd say. They kind of have those athletic movement skills, and the measurables are all there in a special way. But obviously, one's lower on the board because of injury. Connerly's lower because he lacks ideal body mass. But hopefully, that's something you can get cleaned up at the next level. A little bit developmental, but a guy that you feel pretty confident about. Those guys, I think, will all go in the first round probably.
How do you like the depth here? And just like generally, the idea of taking a premier position later in the draft. I mean, who knows? Maybe it worked out. Maybe they got a steal in Brandon Coleman, a guy who might not ever be a top five tackle in the league, but certainly could be a potential starter. I mean, he was a starter last year, but like a potential good starter. Or do you like attacking maybe guard later on in the draft and saying like, hey, if we can get a guy in the second, third, fourth, fifth round, but because he's a guard, he's actually good enough to start from day one. Mm-hmm. Is that a viable strategy? Because I feel like that's something we've seen teams do.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are really good guards, like Gray Zabel from North Dakota is a guy that really jumps out to me. You mentioned Booker as a top, 25 player for Zane? I'm not sure.
Dane's got him at 18.
Yeah, so the other guy would be Gray Zabel for me. And if you were to pick him at, 29 for the Commanders, that would be an interesting selection. A guy that can play center, guard, played left tackle at NDSU. Really had a tremendous Senior Bowl. But yeah, in terms of taking a guard later, I always think you just want to take shots, right? Like, for example, there's a guy from Iowa State, Jalen Travis. He's 6'7". He's like 345. He's got 34 and a half inch arms, excuse me. But like, he's a guy that I don't think a lot of people are talking about, but you know, like if you picked him in the third round, like you'd feel really great about his opportunity to potentially develop into a starting left tackle and bump Brandon Coleman inside, potentially, right? And again, that's great value later. And I think when you look at teams that, like Philadelphia is a good example of this, that do a good job building through the trenches, they find guys with traits. So Jalen Travis is an interesting example of traits. I just listed them all out. Everything checks off. Movement skills check off. Maybe not ready right this second, but let him sit for six games, then he becomes your starter, and you just kind of shore up that depth. Or Anthony Belton from NC State's another guy that could play guard or tackle, is one of these like crazy, big, twitchy guys that you worry about like consistency, but the highs are extremely high. So if you say like, man, if we can get this guy to be the player we see on these 15 plays a game, like he could be a difference maker on the offensive line, but that's a later round selection because of the inconsistency with him, right? And then you get guys like Wyatt Millam from West Virginia, who played tackle in college, probably playing guard. Reminds me a lot of Sam Cosmi, actually, like in terms of movement skills, but a little bit developmental. But why not take a shot on an athletic talent that can kind of be cultivated and develop into one of these positions that you're talking about? So to me, it's like guard, tackle, whatever you want. Offensive line is something that needs to be fortified kind of constantly, right? And the more depth you can cultivate there, the better. So there are pieces here, late second round, third round, fourth round, where you say, hey, man, like, let's take a shot on one of these players. And if they're the right type of guy and someone we think is going to get better, this could be a hit for us.
For sure. And this is where coaching becomes critical. The reason Philly is able to do this at the level they are in turn, like, yes, they attack it. Howie Roseman's always taken offensive linemen, but then Jeff Stoutland coaches them up and they get the most out of everybody. So can Washington and Bobby Johnson do that? We actually have a really good mailbag question that we're going to attack early next week about kind of the type of player that Cliff and Bobby and Dan and Adam are looking for along the offensive line. So we'll get to that more next week. Defensive line, Logan, there's good depth at edge and obviously really good high level talent at the top with Carter. Jalen Walker is an interesting guy. Shamar Stewart out of Texas A&M. Those are three top 10 players for Dane Brugler on his list. But then the defensive tackle depth in this class is insane. Daniel Jeremiah put out a post the other day that said last year he had 12 starting grades or potential starter grades on defensive tackles. 12. This year he has 24. So we are talking about an extremely deep defensive line class. What stands out about it to you?
Yeah, just the depth and kind of like pick your body type. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to put you on the spot and I can talk while you're looking it up, but who else is on the list there in terms of first round grades for Dane?
Are you looking for edges or for
edges? Yeah.
I'm just curious. Right, for edge, he's got Carter, Walker, Stewart. Mike Green, 6'3", 251 out of Marshall. Michael Williams, the edge out of Georgia, 6'5", 265. James Pierce out of Tennessee. Mm. And then I guess the last one would be Donovan Eziraku. Boston College. He's a 30th ranked player. And one other name I'll mention just because I saw him on as a draft or mocked to Washington. I think it was on one of CBS's mocks. JT Tuamalo. Out of Ohio State. Dane's got him at 41. He's got Jack Sawyer, his teammate, at 44. So those are kind of the guys I would say are in that range. I don't know exactly how Dane's got him graded out, but those, in terms of top 100 rankings, those are all top 50 guys.
Yeah, and I think that's a good reflection, right? Like, you know, it's always so frustrating when you start this process and you get like your preliminary list. Like Samar Stewart was like the fifth guy, and I'm like, oh man, he'd be perfect for Washington 29. Then you go watch his film and you're like, this is the freakiest dude I've ever seen. And you're like, oh my God, if he's there at 29, like, but then obviously like the process happens, people start watching more film, and then he's a top 10 player, which is incredible.
Dame Brugler's got him at 9.
Yeah, right. So anyway, so like there are just again, it's interesting when I did the edges, I expected it to be more deep, but I think the top end's better than people think from an athlete perspective. There are guys that are developmental, like Mike Green from Marshall is one of the most fun films you'll ever watch, but then he goes to the Senior Bowl and he has the big play against Connerly where he knocks him on his ass and everybody sees that, but didn't really win a lot of one-on-ones outside of that. So like, can he do it versus top flight competition? But awesome film. You know, Michael Williams is kind of all over the place. He plays 4-eye, he plays end. I feel like he's a true edge player, but was kind of miscast at Georgia. And then you mentioned, I think Tumalau from Ohio State, I would love him. He's got the frame. He's got the kind of football instincts, not the twitchiest guy, but is definitely an NFL player. Landon Jackson from Arkansas. I love his film, man. He just is a hard-nosed blue collar. Like on my draft evals, I make a little note, like Commanders type player. Like, you know, he doesn't have the pass rush.
6'7", 282. Oh my God.
He plays like an absolute maniac, like physical every down. He's running stuff. Like, and so like he's probably the 7th or 8th guy on Dane's list, I'm sure. Like he's probably like a
tenth on. I got Scouts Inc. list or Scouts Inc.'s list up as well. He's 10th on Scouts Inc.'s list, and he is 1, 2, 3. This is great podcasting. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10th on Dane's list as well.
So yeah, so like the 10th player on the list is one that I think is an absolute, excuse my language, maniac. Well, you're gonna have to bleep that out. Like, he is just a fun player to watch, you know what I'm saying? So like, I don't know, like that to me, that kind of speaks to the depth of the class. I don't know if the peak's as good as it's been. I mean, Abdul Carter is an absolute maniac, but outside of that, it's a little bit like there's some question marks, but it's the runway is long with these guys, right? They've got big athletic dudes that play hard. It's exactly what you're looking for. So that's kind of how I feel about the class. I do feel like the defensive tackle class is deeper and longer, if that makes sense. Like, there are more pieces there. Like, it was funny when I was going through the edges, everyone kept talking about how deep it was, and I got to like 14 and I was like, I don't know about this guy. 15, I don't know about this guy, but there are some gems. Like, so for example, the kid from Aladejo from UCLA, he played like stand-up linebacker and converted to defensive end the last four games of the season. Plays like an absolute psychopath, you know what I mean? And he's probably 15th or 16th on the list, if he even goes that far, right? But like, there are guys that fit play style, fit developmental upside that are really, really good.
That feels like a Commander's 5th round pick where they're all high-fiving in the room. And like, that guy's a Commander.
Dude, like, I was watching him and I'm like, this feels like Frankie Luvu, honestly. Like, the way he attacks, like, there was a play versus USC where he like kamikazes the mesh and like takes the quarterback out and the running back out together, but he's not like worried about protecting his body. He rushes as a spinner look over the center guard area. Like, there's just, if you're willing to kind of hunt through, like Brandon Sorrell from Texas is not like a height, weight, speed measurement guy, but a guy that just gets how to pass rush, you know what I mean? And gets how to win and has a bunch of sacks and good production in college. So like, it might not be the top end. Like Landon Jackson to me is like the cutoff in terms of like top end guys. But then there's guys that if you develop, if you find a role, you feel pretty good about. And so we talk about offensive line depth. I feel the same way about defensive line. And so there are some of these guys later where you're like, shoot, if you pick this guy in the 4th round, 5th round, like that's a steal and a guy that's going to be able to carve out a role on your team. And maybe that means it is a deep class. You know what I mean? If you're getting a 5th round pick that's playing for you. So, but it feels like there's a little bit of a drop off after that 10-11 spot.
Right, there's just less options. You gotta know where to look versus defensive tackle, where it's like, you know, just guys are gonna fall to you because there's so many of them.
Yeah, that was crazy. I haven't really done my full defensive tackle evaluation, but just kind of the preliminary look. Like, I was like, man, kind of feels like running back, where it's like your style, your guy. We can get into the 20s of guys that I think could play for an NFL roster now, playing for an NFL roster as a you know, as a rotational three technique is one thing, and then being an absolute stud is another. But I think, like, when you're the Commanders, like, finding guys that have developmental upside that fit your vision, like, when there is this kind of class where there's, like, you get a big run-stopping nose, you can get a juiced-up, twitched-up pass rusher in the third round, like, that's a big deal, you know? And I think, like, that depth is extremely important. So, yeah, I'm if you need a defensive tackle or a defensive end, you're going to be fine because there's a lot of guys in this class. It's just about identifying which one is the one that fits your vision for the team and which one do you feel like you want to work with and you want to develop.
Right. And, I mean, they did take Jerzon Newton in the second round last year. So if you're Washington and you're just looking for, like, a big body to complement Jerzon in the fourth round, like, that's awesome. Like, love that. They don't need a guy to be available in the first round or the second round to them at that position. But if you get a guy in the fourth or fifth that can be a part of your rotation and that big body run stopper, let's just have him play on first and second down. Like, we know that they're gonna package this thing up and have Frankie and Dorrance and Jerzon and, you know, pick your other edge, you know, that they bring back on third down anyway. Like, they're looking to fill roles, especially late, and that's a really smart way to build a football team. I think that's going to be something that plays well for them in terms of the defensive tackles in this class. All right, that is from Take Command. If you want the full podcast, which has a full preview of the running back class, the wide receiver class, the quarterback class, everything, just kind of a super high-level look of how this draft is going to shake out and how that ultimately affects the Commanders, the options available to them, how the thin quarterback class could affect Washington as well, check out Take Command this weekend. It's a really good episode. And next week, we're actually going to do our first mock draft. We're going to take a look at just use a mock draft simulator to get to the Commanders, look at some of the trades we might have made along the way, and then what options are available to Washington at 29. So mock draft 1.0 on Take Command coming next week. Also, we got a mailbag on Take Command that's coming too. If you want to submit a question for me and Logan, you can hit me on Instagram at hoffman.sports. You can also drop me an email. I think hoffmanshow@gmail.com works directly, or just use the contact page at hoffmanshow.com. I should test that other email, Anthony. I should test to see if hoffmanshow@gmail.com works still.
Yeah, you should.
Okay, I will do that. But I definitely know if you use hoffmanshow.com in the contact link, then you can submit your question there in the old question box. All right, that is that's from Take Command earlier this week, / yesterday, / in your feeds this morning. Coming up next, we're going to look ahead. It's time for the weekend preview, brought to you by... You'll find out who it's brought to you by next. But first, a look at the latest in the world of women's sports. It's presented to you by Wawa. Chicken how you want it at Wawa. Customizable, crispy, or roasted chicken sandwiches.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Man, I need to get out of these studio lights, man. I feel like I've been sitting in the front of this microphone a lot this week. A lot of shows, a lot of stuff, a lot of things happening. I still got more editing I got to do. I got more stuff that's just sitting there in the can, as they say, Anthony.
So you just been talking all weekend, huh? I mean, all week.
Talking. Doing a lot of talking. A lot of talky-talky into this here microphone. Some of the talky-talky that is still, in quote-unquote, in the can. On the Hoffman W Sports side of the shop, I got a chance this afternoon to catch up with Tara Michione, the Washington Spirit defender, who was the lone Spirit player to make the U.S. Women's National Team roster for the upcoming She Believes Cup. That interview will be out this weekend at Hoffman W Sports on YouTube and in the Hoffman W Sports podcast feed, so you can check that out. Tara's lovely. It's so funny. Tara and I have such a funny relationship. Not that like we're great friends or anything, just I interviewed her on her draft night, and so I've gotten to like watch her grow up. One of the last thing I did at the Spirit before I left was the 2021 NWSL draft, and so on their draft nights, Tara and Trinity Rodman were two of the players that I interviewed, and so getting to watch them grow, like almost like they feel like, I don't know, like little sisters or like kids that I've watched grow up. I don't know what the feeling is, but there's like it's just a very cool thing to see. Like, I remember when they were children fresh out of the draft. I mean, Trent was literally 18 years old. But then to watch them grow, I mean, Tara's engaged now. We were joking because, like, we're both like, how did we get, like, she's a veteran now on the team. And, like, getting old sucks. And it's happening to all of us all the time. But that was a very fun conversation. And she's now breaking in. This will be her first time ever on the national team for a camp where there's games. She was in the January camp a couple weeks ago. But that was just like a practice session type deal. So we talked about this moment where she's going to get to walk into the locker room and see her name on a U.S. national jersey for the first time and how cool that's going to be. So those games start next week. And then one of them is Sunday in Phoenix, and I'll be there. So I'm looking forward to a little trip out west into warmer weather next week, Anthony.
No, that's pretty dope.
That's the next weekend preview. Now it's time for this weekend's preview. It's the weekend preview brought to you by
Nobody, Craig.
Yep, still nobody. It's still out there. If you could sponsor the weekend preview, just get in touch with us and we'll connect you to the right people. HoffmanShow.com. HoffmanShow.com. If you would like to sponsor the weekend preview. Okay. There's also, by the way, if you want to sponsor Not My Beat or anything else on the show, we're open for business, baby. Let us know. But it's going to be a fun one, this weekend, Anthony. There's a bunch of good hoops, all over the map starting tonight. You know, obviously college, but you got the, you know, the All-Star weekend, and we can talk about how much we're actually interested in that in a second. But tonight, unrivaled, one-on-one tournament finale. You got four names left. And of course, locally, we are most interested in, can Aliyah Edwards finish this thing off? The Washington Mystics first round pick last year started off the tournament by bludgeoning her fellow UConn Husky, the number one seed, the co-founder of Unrivaled, co-founder of the league, Breonna Stewart. She beats Breonna 12-0. And she has continued.
Donut.
Yeah, donuts. And by the way, the total prize money, $350,000, $250K to the winner. And tonight, there are just four remaining. It's Nafisa Collier, the other co-founder of the league.
Mm-hmm.
Arike Ogunbowale, who was my pick because Arike is as nasty of a one-on-one player as there is. Azaree Stevens, and then Aliyah. That's it.
That's a good bump, man. That's a good bump right there, baby.
Aliyah takes on Arike, and then Azaree takes on Fee. Winners face off. Champion gets decided tonight.
Uh-oh. What you got? Oh, well, you just said Arike.
That was my pick pre-tournament. I'm all on the Aliyah Edwards bandwagon.
Yeah, me too, man.
Look, I talked to Aliyah in, do you remember when that was? Early January? Maybe it was late December? I talked to her sometime before she went to Miami. And at the end of that interview, she's like, you know, like, are you going to root for me? And I was like, of course I'm going to root for you. And she's like, okay, the Mist, like, that's your new favorite team. And we didn't even talk about the one-on-one tournament. But you know, like, if you're a friend of the show,
yeah,
we're a loyal crew.
Mm-hmm.
We'll mess around over here. My new pick is Aliyah Edwards.
Let's go, then.
Let's go. And by the way, this is Aliyah Edwards 2.0. Not just because she's not a rookie anymore. The mask is off, Anthony.
Yep.
She's out there playing with her full face exposed.
Yep.
As opposed to being in the mask all last year. And if this is the new Aliyah, I mean, I joke with Sidney Johnson, the Mystics coach, when we talked earlier this week, I was like, all these plans you probably got offensively, scrap those, coach. Don't make this harder than it has to be. Just give the ball to Aliyah one-on-one. She's apparently one of the best one-on-one players on the planet. And he's like, I wish it was that easy. And I was like, apparently it is, coach. What do you, don't overthink this.
Yeah. Let her operate at that free throw line area. Let her, you know, shoot some threes.
By the way, Shakira had an upset earlier, too. So let's just, you know, if Aliyah gets tired, just give the ball to Shakira.
Yep.
A one-on-one iso ball, what everybody dreams of. No, they're going to be playing team ball. They'll be playing five-on-five, doing all the ball movement and stuff. But I'm excited for this, man. And the physicality, whew, these girls are trying to.
It starts at 7 today?
Let's see. Aliyah versus Arike at 7:30.
Okay, cool.
Azaree at Fee. Against Fee at 7:45. And then it says 8:05. It says, then there's like three games listed, and it says finals. 8:05, 8:25, 8:45. So I wonder if they play like a best of three.
No way. That's a lot of basketball.
It is.
A lot of games are one-on-one.
It is. So I wonder what the deal is on that. But that would be dope.
A best of two out of three?
Yeah, best two out of three.
Yeah.
Let's see, is there like a rules schedule?
But I ain't gonna lie, like if you playing, like if you're tiring yourself out defensively, offensively, to do that, three, well, I guess it's a best of three, but if it does end up being 1-1.
You have to play four games of 1-on-1 in about an hour-ish at that level.
Yeah, that's a lot.
At a 250K's on the line level.
Hey, look, the bag is on the line.
The bag is on the line. On the line tonight, Rising Stars game. They got multiple teams. The winner of the Rising Stars tournament, if you will. They're playing 5-on-5. But the winner gets to get into the All-Star Sunday. So now there's three All-Star teams that have been picked. And then a fourth will join. And they'll have a little tournament on Sunday. So we'll see, we'll get to find out if this new All-Star format's any good. And do you have any interest in any part of All-Star Weekend, Anthony? Like, All-Star Weekend for me in the NBA has become a thing where if there's nothing else on, I'll put it on. But I'm not seeking it out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. The three-point contest, the dunk contest, there's nothing that screams, Anthony, you need to be watching this. Now, I will see who's in the celebrity game. I do like, you know, paying attention to that. Like,
well, Alicia Gray is in there from the W, and she didn't make the finals in Unrivaled. She unfortunately did not get her money.
Yeah, I know.
But that soundbite will live forever.
It will.
It will.
Who don't like money?
Who don't like to get that money? We got to get that on the board. Great college action this weekend as well. Not a whole lot going on tonight, but tomorrow, I mean, one of the matchups of the season. What gets better than 1 versus 2? Tomorrow night, let's see, who's hosting this game? It is at, or is it Sunday, Anthony? No, there it is. Nope, 4 o'clock tomorrow in Tuscaloosa. Auburn, Alabama.
Oh,
one,
yeah.
Like classic rivalry, SEC rivals, in-state rivals, the whole deal. But it's got to be one of the first times ever that they're facing off, if not the first time ever, they're facing off as 1 versus 2.
Yeah.
Alabama favored by 1.5 at home. That should be fun on a Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock.
That's going to be crazy, man. Crazy, crazy, crazy. And then also, did you see the games on the women's side on Sunday?
What we got on Sunday, and first of all, just real quick, rounding out some of the other good matchups, Wisconsin-Purdue, 1 o'clock on Saturday, a classic Big Ten as opposed to some of the other whatever wackadoodle Big Ten stuff that you got going on. Creighton-St. John's on 3 o'clock FS1 on Sunday, and then Iowa-Maryland on Sunday. Terps hanging on to that 25th and final spot in the ESPN coaches poll. Don't forget Monday. It's a long weekend, too. Duke-Virginia, Arizona-Baylor, top 25 action on Monday. By the way, we're off on Monday. So we'll see you all again on Tuesday. What we got on the women's side of it this weekend, though, Ann?
Craig, we have a star-studded matchup between the number 4-ranked South Carolina Gamecocks and the number 7 Connecticut Huskies. Oh, my gosh. AZ coming off a 34-point performance, 8 threes. South Carolina, you know, doing what they do best. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm mad excited. I'm mad excited for that. By the way, coming off of, we were both so bummed that the USC-UCLA game was on so late last night, and we missed it. You watched it. You were up.
Man,
Juju Watkins, barbecue chicken, 38 points, 11 rebounds. She had 8 blocks in that game.
8 blocks. Man, I couldn't believe it. Like, literally, possession after possession. Block, block, block. Then she gets the block, the rebound, the steal, the dime. I said, good gracious.
Jaden Daniels, by the way, sitting on the sideline for it. Juju and USC, I believe they were the 6th seed going into, or the 6th ranked team in the country going into that. Upset, number 1 seed and undefeated previously, no more. UCLA last night. Yeah, then you got the star-studded matchup this weekend. UConn and South Carolina, that's a 1 o'clock ABC game on Sunday. And then LSU Texas, by the way. It's at 3 o'clock following that. So you got back-to-back top 7 matchups. Juju and company back in action against Washington. You got Michigan State, UCLA. That's 2 ranked teams. Obviously, UCLA, that'll be their last game as the number 1 team before the new rankings come out. That's all on Sunday. Anything good on Monday on the women's side of it? Kansas State, West Virginia's 2 ranked teams. Duke, Notre Dame. There you go. Very possible that Notre Dame is the number 1 team in the country when they take the floor on Monday night against 13th-ranked Duke. Michigan, Maryland as well. Brenna Freeze's crew currently ranked 17 as we steamroll towards the NCAA tournaments here in a couple of weeks. That is our weekend preview, brought to you by
nobody. Man.
When we get back, we have Real Things, Real People, set it to real microphones. Also brought to you by
nobody.
This isn't Rebecca Black, Anthony.
It's not, though. It's not, but Craig, what? Love is in the air. Shout out to you and Mrs. Hoffman.
Thank you. Thank you. This is the first dance song for my wedding. And we have celebrated Valentine's Day all week in the Hoffman house, in part by buying ourselves Beyonce tickets for when she's here in July.
There we go. Perfect.
So, which, by the way, dog, it was a war to get those tickets. Apparently, I didn't know that I got in, got out, and was safe, marked safe in the great Beyonce ticket hunt of 2025.
Yeah, I didn't have the patience for it. I'm not going to lie. I got on my computer. They had me waiting, and I was like, all right, I got other things to do. So if I end up going, I'll get lucky down the road. I'll resell
tickets. Yeah, people start selling tickets. Yeah.
Yeah, sadly. But
they do control. That is the good thing, though, right? Is like they control the resale market now more.
Good, because, man.
Like, I think there probably will be ways to, like, buy them on, through a third party that costs $1 zillion. But, like, there's also, like, I don't know if that you can actually do that. Like, I think, like, the artists have been able to reel some of that in. That instead of, I'm not going to say any of the sites, but, like, the resale sites, everything's got to go through SeatGeek, who is obviously also at times a resale site. But SeatGeek is the one who's running the actual sale for anything at Northwest Stadium right now. And so if people just sell their tickets back at the original price, someone else buys them at the original price. So maybe you'll get lucky, but yeah, man, we got two. I'm very happy about it. We're trying to get four to be able to go with another couple, but I was like, I'm going to buy these two. And if we get four later, we'll resell these back. And, thank God that I got those two.
Lucky you, man.
Yeah. 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 All right. Before we get to real things, one last Anthony Taylor Swift TikTok update.
Uh-oh. Anthony, so we're at 5:04 early at the midway
point of the show. Right? This TikTok started the show at 489,000. Yesterday at 5 o'clock, it was at 200,000. Anthony, guess how many views you trying to guess Jalen Hurts quote or Taylor Swift lyric currently has on TikTok?
521.
Not quite that bad.
Ah, okay.
512,000 views.
Okay.
So probably by the end of the night, Shane and Oxon Hill, or certainly by the end of the weekend, Shane and Oxon Hill, it's crazy to be like, oh, I only need 40,000 more views when most things I do on TikTok get 1,500 to 3,000 views. But only 40,000 more views in the Swifty algorithm until Shane and Oxon Hill has been knocked off his throne. Yep. As my most viewed TikTok of all time. Speaking of Jalen Hurts, it is time for Real Things Real People Said into real microphones. Even though it's the Eagles, there are few better days in Real Things land than parade days. We could play you some Landon Dickerson, but it would just be a bunch of bleeps. That dude went crazy today.
Oh my
gosh. But Jalen Hurts stepped to the podium and had lots of people to thank.
I want to thank my teammates. Thank my offense. From the quarterback room to the receivers, the tight ends, the running backs, Saquon Barkley. Saquon.
They all seen that on Twitter, had to.
I mean, I can't imagine what it's like to be on a team when something goes around viral like that that's on your team. Because there's one person that starts it, and then it's like, hey, have you seen this yet? Like, Saquon's going to be like, yeah, I've seen it. Just an old dude in Philly being like, Saquon Barkley?
Man, when we got Saquon Barkley,
when we got Saquon, it's over. So good. What else we got from the parade? We got Howie Roseman after he got hit in the head with a beer.
Two-time Super Bowl champion, Eagles fans, welcome Howie Roseman.
I bleed for this city. Go Eagles. Our players, our staff have done an unbelievable job. We are two-time world champs, and we're coming back strong. Go Birds!
I should have left that part out.
I would say, as I was introducing that clip, I was thinking, if the Commanders win the Super Bowl, will Adam Peters speak at the parade? I don't feel like he's a parade speak guy. And I feel like Howie Roseman shouldn't have been.
I think he'll maybe give a couple words. I think they want everybody to at least like say hey to the city or, you know, hi. Thank you guys for supporting.
Like, I see Dan Quinn getting up there and be like, give it up for Adam Peters. Okay. And then Adam gets to step forward and be like, hey, thank you, thank you. Adam doesn't want to speak at a parade.
Yeah, he ain't going to the mic.
If it was up to Adam, microphones wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
He's just that kind of guy.
Oh, man.
Something that he and Will Dawkins have in common.
They don't like the microphones?
No, they'll speak when they got to. They'll say as little as they can.
Mm-hmm.
They're very, very smart, but they don't want to deal with microphones.
Play the background, man. Play in the background.
That's our show. We're off on Monday. We'll see you Tuesday. Have a great holiday weekend, everybody.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.